give a status of the BSM in PC8, and this talk is of course also on behalf of all the main authors, so Torbjörn, Richard, Steve and Peter. And I will start with a more general overview of PC8, then summarize the BSM parts which are available, and then focus more on some recent developments in SUSE and in extra dimension / unparticles, which is what I am working on. So the overview, so PCIe 8.1, which was the first release, let's say, was coming out in October 2007. The current version is 8.120, which came out in March this year. And the physics contents of this, the current version should be at the same level or improved with respect to Pythia 6. However, tuning to experimental data still remains. The initial focus has been on standard model physics. However, we are now trying to extend the BSM parts. And this talk will mainly focus on the BSM processes which are already available and also some of the most recent developments. So I want to advertise a little bit the interactive online manual, which I think is, if you, for any kind of question one might have about PC8, this is probably the first place to look, because it's a quite detailed manual online. So it's available, first of all, at the Pythia webpage, but it's also distributed together with the code. And the manual pages are generated directly from the same XML files, which are used by the program to get the default settings and parameters. So in this way, it ensures that it's up to date, and you see exactly what is being used when you run the program. There is also an example here which shows the fact that it can be used interactively. So this is just a piece taken from the coupling section, where you could then also change your, for example, alpha S value and how you want it to run, and then save this changed setting, and that could be used when you run the pure program. So so for the BSM parts, Pythia 8 contains a little bit of each. So it's more or less what was in Pythia 6, however, with a bit less SUSE for the moment. There is currently no Technicolor, but a little bit in addition in terms of extra dimension and unparticle processes. There are several BSM-related categories in terms of processes, where most of them are considered more or less completed, but where the main recent developments have been going on in the SUSE and extra dimension section. So the BSM processes are mainly based on leading order matrix elements. However, very often there is also higher order correction processes, which can be used to produce dedicated samples for studies in the high PT tail region. But these normally also implies double counting if you would use it together with the bulk process. So it's not normally not properly matched. There are some processes which have a proper ISR to leading order plus one yet matrix elements, but these are very rare in the BSM sections. So this already corresponds to quite a large variety of different BSM-related processes, where normally the couplings and the masses involved have to be determined externally. So this, to some extent, separates the processes from the different possible models that they could be associated to. So to summarize a bit from these sections, which are more or less complete, starting the first one is the so-called fourth generation section, which relates obviously to production of fourth generation quarks and leptons. These processes could also be used for as templates for models with new particles with similar characteristics. So what is there is that you can produce most of the quark scenarios, so a top or bottom prime together with another top or bottom prime or normal quark. And there is also one lepton scenario. And in this category, one can change the masses involved and the fourth generation CK and matrix elements. In the Higgs section, you have both one and Higgs or and two Higgs doublet related processes, and it contains the standard set of standard model processes. Do you have a question, Michael? For polarization?
Of the fourth generation.
Yeah, no. So, in the Higgs section, you have so the standard set of standard model processes together with single and pair production of the Higgses related to two Higgs doublets. You also here have these dedicated high PT processes, and the parameters here are first of all the masses of the involved Higgses. In the standard model case, you have a few options related to the Higgs width. And in the BSM-related processes, you can change the individual couplings to the standard model particles. In the SUSY case, you need to get the SUSY couplings through this SUSY-LeSouche cord files. And you can also change tangens beta and some options related to mixing between scalar and pseudoscalars, including CP-violating interference. You have new gauge boson section, which contains Z prime and W prime production. And in the Z prime case, this includes also interference with gamma. Here you have a proper matching between ISR and Z prime plus one jet matrix elements. And you can change the different vector and axial couplings, the coupling to WW, and you have some option related to the decay angle. The W prime is more or less the same thing as the Z prime. However, here you have a bit less flexibility in terms of setting the couplings. There is also one sort of speculative horizontal boson called R0, which couples between the families, and there you can change the mass. I have a left-right symmetry category where you have processes related to a new SU2 right gauge group and with the extended Higgs sector, where you could produce W and Z right, as well as double charged Higgs. Which allows for right-handed neutrino decays and the cascade decays depending on the mass hierarchy. However, apart from the double charged Higgs processes, the other Higgs processes are contained in the Higgs section. And again, you can change couplings and masses as well as a related vacuum expectation value. So the final two sections are leptoquarks and compositeness, where you can produce scalar leptoquarks with a conserved flavor, but which you can change, so you don't need to produce only up electron here in the final state. And compositeness, which have, you can produce excited leptons and quarks, with also anomalous couplings, of course. And again, you change masses and couplings as well as a compositeness scale here. So in addition, one can also use Pythia 8 in a number of different ways together with external programs, which I think will be one of the main ways of using it, I guess. And so first of all, you can use it together with these LeSouche accord files, so where you generate events from some matrix element generator and then read it into Pythia through the LeSouche event files, and the Pythia then takes care of the following parton level and hadron level generation. You can also use the SUSY LeSouche accord files provide SUSY mass spectra and couplings from some external spectrum calculator. There is also a possibility to plug in directly a differential cross section of some new process that you have available using these so-called semi-internal or processes or decays. And there are also so-called runtime interfaces, which provides a way of conveniently using Fortran or C++ programs inside Pythia. And these things are strongly related to BSM, but in addition, you also have the possibility to use external PDFs, external decay and parton shower software, so so-called user hooks, where you can sort of veto events and so on inside the generation chain. Use external random generators and produce events in MC format and so on. So yeah, just one slide on this semi-internal process business. So this is something that I think could be quite handy if you happen to have a new process where you have the matrix element or cross-section available. You can then code in your cross-section in a process class. So let's say a 2-to-2 scattering process class, which inherits from a 2-to-2 scattering base class, which provides all the kinematic variables and so on. And in this way, the user code is very conveniently separated from the Pythia library. So it sort of only shows you what is relevant for your implementation. So it's a quite clear and clean way of implementing it. The class structure that you have to fill in with your new cross-section has the same structure as the internal processes. So in this way, it will be treated just as an internal process when the program generates the events. And also for this reason, the internal processes serves as nice templates and examples one can look at when you want to code in your new cross-section. So this is an example from a FF bar going to an unparticle and sed being emitted, which is then inheriting from this 2-to-2 scattering base class. You have a number of standard methods that has to be filled in with the characteristics of this new process. And then in your main program, you just instantiate an object of this class, hand it to Pythia, which then just schedules it in the list of processes that will be generated. And then everything from there on works just as if it was a normal internal process. So then on to some more recent developments, starting with supersymmetry. For SUSE in Pythia 8, only groups of processes will be... Yep, sorry, Michael. So, yes, you would implement it. I mean, if you have a long list of 2-to-2 processes, they have to be written into individual classes.
Each
like
one
this.
Of those is an individual class.
Yeah,
like this.
But then after that, you just hand the pointers to these different processes to the Pythia, and it generates everything. Yes. Yeah, my personal opinion is that, most of the time people will use MadGraph and these automated ways of generating matrix elements and so on. But sometimes, I guess, you theorists and model builders will play around with formulas, and then this could be a quite nice way of just generating events from these formulas that you're playing around with. So,
but the decays will be some other class.
Exactly. Then you have a similar class which handles the decay, which is even simpler. I will point that out in the end, but I can say it already. There are examples provided with the code which shows how to do this, and these are very illustrative things to look at. So, yes. So then the supersymmetry developments. So, in Pythia 8, you will only be able to turn on and off groups of processes where all the masses and couplings will be provided through these SUSE-LESUSHE accord files. So, currently, there is only Gagino pre-production at leading order. So, you can see here, you can turn on and off like Neutralino pre-production and Chargino production, but not the individual Chi1, Chi2 contributions. It's implemented in a way which allows for non-minimal flavor and CP violating processes, which follows conventions shown in this paper. And the things that are in progress now is to implement also Squark, Lino, and Slepton production using the same SUSE 2-to-2 structure that was developed for the Gagino processes. Then implementing decays, which will initially be based on pure phase space with externally computed total widths, and which will be provided by also either the SUSH event files or the SUSE the SUSH accord files. And later on, the matrix elements will also be implemented. And to start with, only R parity conserving processes will be implemented. So then over to large extra dimensions and unparticles. So what the starting point here has been to implement these two together. So from a phenomena point of view, the unparticle emission and the virtual unparticle exchange processes are often some slight generalization of the similar graviton processes in large extra dimensions. So try to implement both at once. And for these processes, the unparticle models used in Pythia follows the conventions in this paper by Kingman et al. So you have this scale dimension parameter, du, lambda u, mass scale. And for all the processes available, there is a universal coupling called small lambda between the unparticle and standard model operator. Then we obtain the graviton process from the spin 2 unparticle formulas. So we use the same process and cross-section code, and whenever it's possible, also the same matrix element code. And this can normally be used by just changing something like two constant factors. So this is an example for the graviton emission process, where you have to translate your du parameter into the number of large extra dimensions and then change overall phase-based normalization constant. So what is available in the current release is SED or photon production together with a graviton or an unparticle. And this process has been checked both to the Kingman paper on the previous slide and against some of the traditional large extra dimension papers. And the main difference here from the already existing processes in Pythia was this variable mass spectrum of the unparticle or graviton, which was solved by a Bright-Wigner spectrum produced inside Pythia. But for this reason, one has to pay a little bit attention in order to achieve a high Monte Carlo efficiency to see that this Bright-Wigner shape overlaps with the cross-section. But this, of course, only affects the generation speed. So it's not, it's just a convenience thing. The photon process corresponds to the photon limit of the SED process. And there is also a truncation switch implemented to check the validity of this effective theory. So it just truncates the contributions of the S-hat above this effective mass scale. Further documentation about how the graviton unparticle emission was implemented and conventions used can be found in this paper here. Also, okay. Also in the latest release, there is this two photon production from a virtual graviton or virtual unparticle exchange available. And here the matrix elements were taken from this paper here, and the graviton process was obtained by translating the parameters in this way, which reproduces this exact formulas of this Giudice and et al. Paper. The process was validated together with a student in CMS called Elina, who could reproduce, so showed that the results from Pythia could reproduce the results presented in this paper. And here, for example, there is a differential cross-section plot as a function of the invariant mass from the paper, and also one from what Elina produced for a number of different lambda couplings. And if one looks at the details, one can see that it agrees very well. Then to monojet plus graviton or unparticle emission. In the current version of Pythia, only the graviton process is available. However, the unparticle complement is in progress. So as far as I know, there is no spin 2 unparticle matrix elements. So the graviton will be the only spin 2 possibility. However, I guess one could interpret that as a special case of the unparticle scenario with this translation of the parameters. And it will be accompanied by spin 1 and spin 0 unparticle emission. It's already implemented, but being also validated at the moment together with Alberto Röck and the colleagues in CMS. And it's a bit strange since I am Atlas, but we are very working across the borders here. And
Well, then you should validate against EasyJet.
Yes, and also I think Sherpa has the, also the Graviton process. So we are actually comparing right now Pythia against Sherpa. But anyway, so yeah, so these plots here just compares the Pythia results, which shows the YET-ET spectrum for one particular point of a graviton emission for the case where you include all the contribution of S-hat using a form factor I will come to in the next slide, and also using this truncation. And yeah, the black and the blue lines are very similar here, and this could then be compared to this plot here from the Tom Ritsu paper, where the red curve corresponds to what is generated here, and if one also looks at the details, it seems to agree very well. So, what is in progress, but will come in the next release together with the unparticle monojets, is this form factor possibility. So, which is a form factor of the gravity coupling. So, it's a more realistic alternative for a graviton emission or graviton virtual graviton exchange when S hat approaches the effective mass scale of the effective theory. And it's obtained from renormalization group equations for some particular scenario of quantum gravity, where they say that you can restore unitarity in the graviton scattering by having this form factor. And, also that it could be tested at LHC, possibly, if you would see a extra-dimensional signal. So the form factor is shown here and was taken from this Johan and Tom paper. And the main effect is that the gravitational coupling is damped as you go to higher energies or mu increase. So the configurable parameters related to this form factor is first the renormalization scale, which can either be set to the renormalization scale used internally by Pythia, where you have a few options of what you should use, or you can set it equal to the jet energy in the case of monojet production in the center of mass frame, which is something they also use in this paper. So it's sort of proposed there. And the second parameter is this T here, which is a free parameter of order 1, which should be kept below 2 in order to preserve unitarity in this graviton scattering amplitude. And here there should not be a U, but only a G. So when you use it in the context of virtual graviton exchange, this T times MD is changed to a different T times the relevant cutoff scale for this process. So just some small remarks about Kaluza-Klein graviton resonance. So this is this one could generate events already in versions earlier than the latest one in Pythia 8, where you have the scenario of Kaluza-Klein graviton resonances in this traditional RS1 model with the full standard model on the TEV brain, where you can change the graviton mass as well as the graviton standard model coupling using these conventions. And the plan here is that when the monojet stuff and so on is out there, to try to extend this Kaluza-Klein resonances a bit. So perhaps the first thing would be to have a flavor-dependent coupling possibility in the graviton case, and then possibly also other resonances. So how would you try it out? So you go to the homepage, you download the code, and follow the instructions. So these instructions are both given at the web page as well as in a README file inside this tarball. This tarball contains, apart from the actual code, also this interactive online manual, as well as more than 30 main program examples, which, as I sort of mentioned before, doesn't only contain examples on how to generate events and so on, but also how to use all these external programs, so like using Lesouche Accord PDF library, reading in Lesouche event files and so on. So they are, together with the online manual, that's the second place to look when you will try it out. And for some further written up documentation, you have these two papers here. So that brings me to the conclusion. So the current version of Pythia in terms of BSM contains more or less what Pythia 6 contained, however with a bit less SUSE and no Technicolor for the moment, but a little bit more extra dimension and particle processes. SUSE is in progress, and the way it's implemented will allow for non-minimal flavor and CP violating processes. We have started with these large extra dimension and particle processes, which are implemented together whenever it's possible. And the current version have both processes related to graviton and particle emission and the graviton and particle, virtual graviton and particle exchange. So, and one main point is, I think, also that Pythia is very well suited to use with external programs, where you, for instance, can take BSM-related input from these Lesouche event files or spectrum calculating result, SUSE mass spectrums and couplings from these SUSE Lesouche accord files, and you can also plug in your new cross-section using this semi-internal process. And as bonus material, I have one slide on UED in Pythia 6. So it's not Pythia 8, but it's still BSM. So this is is a UED model which is implemented in Pythia 6, which corresponds to one universal extra dimension, which covers the first Kaluza-Klein excitation of standard model particles, together with a number of number n of large extra dimensions where only gravity can propagate. They calculate the mass spectrum at the one loop level, but the mixing between iso doublet singlets is currently neglected, but should only be relevant at the top sector. And you have the paper reference here to the ArcSci where you can find all the details about it. And the plan here is to start implementing this in Pythia 8 at the Lesouche meeting this year. And what I have also not mentioned is the work by Peter and Steve about these Hidden Valley signatures that was mentioned in the previous talk, and this is something I guess we should also start thinking about moving into Pythia 8 at some point. So, that's it. Dave?
This is a little beyond the scope of your talk, but since we're talking about Pythia 8, what's going to happen with Tauti K's in Pythia 8?
So this is something I don't know very much about. I don't know if Peter has...
Well, they're going to decay.
But they don't decay right in Pythia, that's the problem. You always have to force them to decay then with the Tauti.
Yeah, isn't the idea to use some external program for this?
Yeah, I don't think we are intending immediately to have a very sophisticated Tauti K treatment. I mean, it's a manpower issue. If we had someone that we could put on Tauti Ks, then that would be great. It would be a wonderful project for an MCNet.
Well, does Bezek Voss still maintain Tauti?
Yeah, but it's Fortran, right? So it's going to be a mess.
It's a huge job to convert it to C++.
Oh yeah, and there I think he's not willing to do it.
Not
like that. Maybe he needs to be convinced.
No, but we can interface more time programs.
Yeah,
in principle that should be okay, and we have the output standard that Taola expects. So that should in principle, but we would like to be independent of Taola.
I just wonder how many physics results and studies and everything are out there with Pythia's tau decays, which especially for the three prong decays are just not right at all.
Don't think it's not a matter of great priority, right?
I think Greg was first.
Yeah, it's good to see extra dimensions being implemented in so many varieties in Pythia. One thing which surprised me, for the virtual graviton effects, you only have gamma-gamma as the final state.
Yes, that's where we started.
But it should be trivial for you to add Z's and leptons.
Yes, so the natural continuation of that would be to fill up with other final states as well. I mean, this one came as a request from Albert and colleagues in CMS, so that's why I chose that one to start with. But of course, it's quite trivial to implement the others in the same way.
Yeah, John, what you could do is always you could decay the towers with Herwig.
Yeah. I've not studied it.
Yeah.
I hope that's an improvement.
This tower stuff I don't know too much about.
It's certainly something we would like to do, but it's, right now it's a manpower issue. We don't have anyone that could do it.
So I think Michael was the next.
Yeah. Is there a standard way to capture the output for Tibia? So if this is in your internal file and SDDF files, but is there a standard way to get like the output of the Tibia event structure into a root file?
So Peter can correct me if I'm wrong, but I would think, yeah, at least for experimentalists, the most standard thing would be to produce these HEPMC files,
right,
and then read that into some preceding step.
Yeah,
but if you
that's part of the experimental distribution, which is why I asked you this question.
Yeah. So that is it's quite easy, I think, already to use HEPMC format files to do studies on. But then to produce root files directly, I don't know any standard way of doing it. But now, as we're like the validation work that has been done for some of these processes together with experimentalists, then normally it's completely trivial to just write either a small class or just some methods in context to this main program, which produce a root tree or even histograms, depending on what you want. So
you can link
it together with root and then just fuse root as you would in any other root script or program. So it's fairly trivial to do. We are doing it, but it's not in a formal or standard way. It's just I think it's easy enough to that you not even need a very standardized
output is HEPMC, that it's all fully linked and so forth. You can get these HEPMC event files out and run anything on them that produces histograms from them.
That's fine.
We've kept a little bit away from any sort of formal linking to root directly. Of course, it can be done, and I'm doing that myself. but we don't like to make that a standard part of the code because root has issues that we don't want to be responsible for.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good idea.
Root
is fantastic, but I think it's very nice to have the PTI in a sort of self-contained way.
Yeah.
And also, when we have been playing around with the generator output, I think the formal way is the HEPMC stuff, I guess. And what normally happens is that we sort of do validation studies and really small scale studies directly in root. But then if you want to generate something which we then want to run through detector simulation and so on, then we have to do it in HEPMC, of course, because there are provided interfaces and so on in Atlas, for instance, to read that in and do it in the proper way.
For simple things, Pythia has its own histogram class. You just define a little histogram. It's totally simple, and it can make some simple histogram plots.
But this is for really the first level.
No, but if you're just playing with something, that's all right.
No, for sanity checks, that is already good enough. But I think between running a production and sanity checks, just linking root is
that's
quite
trivial.
Good. So
completely
that's
trivial.
Probably a good way to do it.
Since you brought up tau decay, is one problem. My own problem always with Pythia is the way that charm is embodied is done in the fragmentation region. As far as I understand, there's this color drag model that's built into Pythia, which you take the low charm X and accelerate it with a light quark, which is, as far as I know, not in QCD. It's just made up.
Mm-hmm.
So the I always worry about this because you see it in the data leading charm effects all the time, and it clearly does not come from gluon splitting into charm, and it comes from the intrinsic charm matrix elements. It gets well known and rigorous, but yet Pythia puts this other algorithm in, which doesn't have any meaning, doesn't really explain J-psi production, double J-psi production, large XF, the new CellX double charm variants and so on. So this worries me. I mean, if you have an algorithm that's built into the QCD thing. They can distort so much of the physics of charm. Shouldn't I be suspicious about other things that might be built in that I don't know?
Is this something you tune, or...?
You definitely should be suspicious. You're completely correct. But I don't think that's an issue for this workshop.
No, I'm
clearly not the person to solve that.
Probably right, and I brought it up only because I heard about the Tau business. But it worries me because the gluon distribution often is determined by medium, charm, and bottom. So people then push up the gluon momentum fraction in order to make the leading charm.
No, Pythia isn't used to determine structure functions.
Okay.
I mean, that's something that has been thought about, but they run their own FITs and CTEC and MRST and so forth. They don't use
CTEC
to extract it.
CTEC, fortunately, now, because of Pumblin and Tung and so on, have actually improved the CTEC, so they actually do treat charm correctly.
Okay.
But I do worry that it hasn't fed back through Pythia and so on. The gluon distributions are too hard from the beginning, and that could distort some of the signals for the understanding.
Germanium is a special area of interest where we're trying to do some efforts.
Well,
again, I don't think it's a discussion that people hear us on.
I'm just worried that the gluon tagging by charm is misleading, because it's, you know, I've seen that other places where people attribute the gluon, make the gluon so hard in order to explain why the charm is so hard, but erroneously. And then this feeds through lots of PDFs. And, you know, just one thing that I spot, it's a problem.
Pythia gives you a choice of PDFs, or how does that work nowadays?
You have just two sets provided with the code, but then you can link it together with this Lesusha Core PDFs libraries, where you can choose any.
So which are currently provided?
So it's CTEC 5L, I think, and GRB 94. It's
the GRB
for historical reasons.
But the main one is CTEC 5, because it still is at a level where they had quite simple parameterization.
It's very, very trivial to link it to the Lesusha Core PDFs and use
or the upgraded CTEC would be better.
Yeah.
So well, no, but yeah, the thing is, we don't want to, like, because the modern ones have very complex representations,
uh-huh.
and that is where we want this modularity to step in, so that the people who focus on that can do that, and that's what this PDF library is about, and we link to that. But for people who just want to run the code and check, we have a simple PDF in there, that's CTEC 5.
When you develop something, you can just run with these, which
right.
are internal, and then when you do something more analysis or study-wise, you have to make a choice.
We basically want to avoid duplication of effort. So we link to the experts, and we provide a simple PDF.
But this is also shown in one of these examples, and it's very simple. It's a matter of a few lines, and then it works out of the box, and everything is wonderful. So,
more questions?
So there's no plans to have gauged other particles or unparticle thresholds?
Unparticle showers?
Well, either
gauge
having showers or having unparticles with gauge buffers.
No, I wouldn't say that there are no plans.
No, we have plans to start looking at these other versions of unparticle models and hidden value and all that. So that's definitely plans, but I haven't done anything about it yet.
I think during your talk, I figured out how to do an unparticle shower, and we can do that. We want to do that.
There is a plan, but undetailed.
More questions? What's the time scale for full SUSY?
Sorry?
What's the time scale for all the other SUSY process?
It's not a lot of fun to do it. I would say ballpark half a year. Then I would say we would have full SUSY and we would have fully tuned QCD models. And I think that would be good if we had those two things together. That would really make the big. Because before it's fully tuned, I think a lot of people are not going to really look at it. So
when you tune the underlying
method? Yeah, those things.
I think that is probably the most urgent thing.
Yeah, I think that's
the
first.
I would, absolutely. So I would try to
implement
the SUSY implemented by the time that continued, it becomes an even.
Yeah, okay.
So and I think that's about half.
Sorry, but you can run any sysv process you want in Mac graph.
Sure, sure, but
yeah.
That's what we're doing
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
But I was just wondering, I mean, maybe you don't need it.
It's not very important.
Well, if you don't want to use Mac graph.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's pretty well done. This is part of it.
Right. But don't forget that MacGraph still has in the back burner Pythia 6, so at some point you may want to see how it
but then you can do the Lesouche event file business and all that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You can process MacGraph files with Pythia 8.
But again, it's
yeah.
not tuned yet. So
yeah. it's not too bad. I mean, it's not that it's totally
no.
untuned. I mean, I've looked at distributions at lib. Thrust is fine, C parameter is fine, D parameter is fine. I mean, it's not like it's totally untuned. We just haven't taken a very detailed look at the underlying event description.
So while you're at it, hacking Pythia and putting the SUSE and you want to put the MSSM only?
I'm starting with the MSSM. It should be fairly general. I'm thinking of the NMSSM
and
while I'm doing it.
Jack is forgetting to ask this question. So
No, I'm having the NMSSM in mind while I'm doing it. Also because that's a part of the SLHA.
Even if you don't put all those processes in the details, you just put the template so that...
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. It's based on a very general template. That's why the Kgina production is in there. And basically I just have to copy and paste and fill in the color flow for the other ones. You know, adding one extra neutralino, it's not going to be a huge issue.
So on behalf of the officially making a request for the NMSSM,
doing that with
no, it's true. This is very little study. More questions? Great, well, thank you again.
Thank you. This is mine, but yeah, well, do you have a preference?